And into 1 Peter, the first chapter, beginning with the third verse. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. And we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by His power until you receive His salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love Him even though you have never seen Him. Though you do not see Him now, you trust Him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting Him will be the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for this beautiful day, this opportunity to gather in Your house and to worship You. Thank You that Your word can be read and proclaimed this morning, and thank You for Your Spirit that flows from each and every one of us, around us, over us, and through us, illuminating this word, showing us what it is that we are to learn, and empowering us to go and share the good news with everyone we meet. All this we ask in the heavenly and most precious name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we all say, amen. You know, raising children, I've learned a few things. I've learned that they go from being parrots to being pigeons. They first repeat everything you say, and then they tell on you for everything that you do. And sometimes they never stop. But I also know that there are times when parents become a bit of parrots. We seem like we're repeating the same thing over and over and over again, like saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't eat your food with your fingers. Use a fork. Don't run across the house with your socks on. You'll slip and fall. Don't play out in the street. You'll get hit by a car. Don't do this. Don't do that. Or if you do that one more time, there will not be happiness in our house. But I've learned with children, there are times when you just have to keep reiterating it until they get it. You have to keep saying it over and over and over and over again to say, you know, remember the last time you touched the stove when it was on, you got burned. So why are you touching the stove again? Remember last time when you did this, that thing happened. And you go over, it's like children can seem to be a bit ornery, and we just like, you know, come on, God, could you have given me some better children here? You know, why these? Now I can say, you know, because I've learned one thing about my short time here is that these sermons get rebroadcast on WSBB next Sunday, and that they are on the internet, and people around the country listen to the sermons here at First Presbyterian Church, New Smyrna Beach. So I have to be very careful what I say at times. And I have to say, I do love my children. They are a blessing from God. But sometimes I wonder, you know, am I the one teaching them, or are they the one testing me? You know, what did I do to deserve? But I love them all the same. So when I'm reading the scripture passages for today, one of the things struck out with me, the first thing that stuck out with me is that these are passages talking about Peter. So let's talk about Peter for a little while. We're dealing with Peter. We tend to focus on John. John because and John and Paul at times, Paul more than John. But last Sunday we were in the Gospel of John. Most of the time we're reading from the epistles that Paul wrote. We don't dwell a whole lot on Peter because, you know, why at times? But when you think about it, Peter is somebody we should talk about. Because Peter is one of those interesting disciples. And I find that looking at Peter and understanding who he was, there are some things about him that I relate to. And I think it's probably more often than not, I relate to a lot of the stuff that relate to a lot of what Peter was and what he did. Because one, you know, Peter was a bit of a hothead. We read in Scripture where Peter was one of the ones that kind of argued with Christ a little bit, and Christ had to say, you know, hey, whoa, whoa, slow the horses. Peter was the one that cut off the ear of the disciple, or the person who came to arrest Jesus in the garden. And what did Jesus do? Jesus kind of rebuked Peter and healed the disciple. You know, Peter was this one who, you know, remember from a couple of weeks, not that long ago, we read a scripture passage where Jesus said, you know, and you're going to deny me three times. And Peter's like, oh, no, I'm not going to do that, Jesus. I'm not going to deny you. And what did he do? He did exactly what Jesus said. He denied Jesus. You know, Peter is this disciple that, you know, we like to focus on the things that are good to focus on. You know, like Christ said he was going to be the rock on which the church was going to be built. Peter was one of the inner three. He was one of the inner group of disciples that got to see a lot of the cool stuff and experience some of the things that the other disciples didn't get to experience. Jesus told Peter, at least on one occasion, don't tell the others what you've just experienced. But one of the things that I do relate to Peter, probably more often than not, is that Peter was a good preacher. Peter preached some sermons in the Bible that I can only hope that I could preach as a minister. That Peter had the ability to step out and to deliver a sermon and do it in, I know I'm not like that. You know, I think he did it in a very succinct way, could get just a few words across, and God got the point through him and great things happened. Because in our passage today, in Acts, that's Peter preaching. Peter is preaching to this group of individuals that have gathered outside the upper room and have seen this commotion up there, have seen the tongues of fire come and all of those that were gathered speaking in different tongues. All these individuals are gathered there on the street corner going, what is going on? Y'all are supposed to be followers of Christ, and what, y'all are getting drunk at lunchtime? And Peter steps out to address the crowd. Peter takes on this role to go out there and to talk to the crowd, and he delivers. And this is only a part of the message that he delivered on the street corner, but I think it's something that we definitely need to hear even the Sunday after Easter, because Peter goes out and he addresses the crowd and he goes, hey, remember Jesus. He was crucified. You killed him. You know this. He was basically telling them the story going, you very well know because you experienced it. Think about the timing in which this happened. This was only just a few months after the crucifixion. Peter's going out there and he's saying, hey, look, you know this. You saw this. And I am telling you, don't you get it? And then he reads a passage from the Psalms where King David is referring to death. And he says, remember King David's still in his tomb. King David's not talking about his resurrection in that passage. He's talking about the resurrection of Christ. Didn't we hear a little bit of that last Sunday as well, too, talking about you could go find the tomb where they laid Christ, but you're not going to find Christ in the tomb. It's going to be empty. You could go find the place where they laid David, and guess what you're going to find there where they laid David? David. So Peter is addressing them, and he's basically repeating the facts. He's like, let me tell you again, because you know this. You witnessed this. You experienced it. And we kind of know the story. I'm going to get a little bit ahead of myself and get into the Pentecost, because at the end of this sermon that Peter delivered to all these folks gathered around the upper room, I'm going to refresh your memory on what happened that day. Because at the end, the people that were listening, they felt the power of God. They felt judged, and they said, "What, Peter, what should we do?" And he says, you should be baptized. And 3,000 people were baptized that day. I only wish, I pray sometimes, God, can I preach a sermon that is so powerful that 3,000 people would come running down the aisles and wanting to be baptized? We can go grab the horse trough and set it up one more time here, fill it up with water, and if we run out of water there, we can go to the river. And if the river ain't going to work, we can just go over the bridge to the ocean. But we'll work to get 3,000 people baptized. How awesome would that be for our church? How awesome would it be just to witness it even standing from afar. You're out there at the beach, you know, on a beautiful Sunday afternoon, and all of a sudden you see all these people running into the water and they're being baptized. And you're like going, uh-oh, something's going on somewhere in New Smyrna Beach. But Peter preached this sermon, and this is what happened after that on the streets there in the early chapters of Acts. There are other times Peter did it as well. We see a little bit later in Acts, Cornelius, this Roman officer that comes to Peter and says, I want you to come visit me. And Peter goes there and Peter preaches a very short and succinct sermon. And the Holy Spirit falls upon the Gentiles that are gathered there that evening. They start speaking in tongues. The disciples are like, what do we do? And Peter goes, baptize them. And so all these Gentiles are baptized. So if you want to know which disciple you could thank for your being here, because y'all are a bunch of Gentiles, right? We could all say that we're Gentiles. Well, it was Peter. God worked through Peter and a Roman soldier to bring the gospel message to the Gentiles. So we can trace that back to Peter. And then we get into our passage from 1 Peter today. Peter is writing to the group of Christians in Asia Minor. You know where Asia Minor is? Turkey. Modern day Turkey. You know, and these are Christians that, these are mostly Jews who saw everything going on in Jerusalem, saw Christ crucified, saw him resurrected, saw the signs and wonders, saw the miracles, and they said, I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. They go to the family dinner, they go to either Passover or whatever, you know, family dinner, and say, hey, guess what? I now believe in Jesus. And their family goes, get out of here. They ostracize them. They kick them out and they have to leave. They can't even stay in the area. They can't even say, well, I'm going to move to the other side of town, because they're like, no, it just doesn't work that way. You have to pack up and get out of here. I'm not going to allow you to be here because you say he's the Messiah and he's the one that we crucified because he ain't the Messiah. And so Asia Minor is filled with all of these early Christians who were Jews who saw everything. They're first person Christians. They go up there, but they start getting others to come. You know, imagine you plant a church, and what do you want? You don't want just that church to be the people that came with you. You want to invite more people to come. And so there are these more people. Asia Minor was the crossroads of the world at that time. If you think about it, look at the Mediterranean. If you want to go from Egypt to Athens or Rome, and you don't want to sail across the Mediterranean and deal with, you know, the 3-hour tour to get over there and the weather that comes up, you walked around the eastern side of the Mediterranean. So you would walk like from Egypt into Israel and up around. You would go into Asia Minor and cross over into Greece and then go into Rome. And then if you were coming from Asia, if you were coming from the big trade centers over in what now is China, you would travel through Asia Minor to get there. So Asia Minor is a very much a crossroads. If all, you know, they say all roads lead to Rome. Well, all roads went through Asia Minor. If you're wanting to go to Rome, you pretty much all had to go through Asia Minor to get there. And so they had this early church, and Peter is addressing them, and he's basically sharing with them. He gets right to it in the point. And the point of his letter, he says, here is Jesus, this man who was crucified and was raised from the dead. He's telling them that again. He's telling them the message of this is what it is about. This is about Christ and him crucified. I think there's a scripture passage about that. I'm not going to get into that this morning, but you should know that one. We preach Christ and him crucified. Peter's doing exactly that. But then he recognizes that some of them have experienced it, but some of them have not. And he references those that have not, saying, because you have not seen and yet believe. You have not experienced, but yet you still trust in Christ. Because there is that scripture passage too, where even Christ says, blessed are those who believe, for they have not seen. Because that's where we all fall into that category. We are all here because we believe in things that we have not seen. We believe in things that we have not experienced directly. But we know, and I'm a firm believer in this, that Christ comes to us in various ways, and we believe because of that. I like to say, I don't need to touch the scars on his hands to know that Jesus is real. I am thankful for those that had that opportunity, who passed that word on to me, but I am thankful that I believe because I know that that is real. I don't need to touch the hands and the feet and the side. But sometimes I think this is a message that we should repeat over and over and over again. How often, you know, you look around, numbers are kind of down this Sunday, right? You know, a lot of people came on Easter, they got the story. Jesus Christ, they killed him, they put him in the tomb, he raised again from the dead. We got it. We'll see you next year, Pastor. But we worship on Sunday. We're a resurrection people. We're here on Sunday. I mean, Sabbath is a Friday, not Saturday thing. If you look at the Sabbath that's referred to in the Bible, it's really referring to Friday night at sundown through Saturday during the day. Sunday is not the Sabbath day. Sunday is, for some, the first day of the week. So why are we worshiping on Sunday when we say, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy? Because we are a resurrection people. We believe that even in our worship, we proclaim that we are here not because of a Sabbath, but because of what God did for His Son in raising Him from the tomb. Amen? That we gather here because we know that when we come here on a Sunday, we proclaim just by our actions that we believe that Jesus Christ has been risen from the dead, because we worship on Sunday, the day that He emerged from the tomb, the day that the women went there and didn't find Him, and the day that the angel said, go and tell the others. It's almost like every Sunday we should just say this story over and over again. Say, welcome to First Presbyterian Church of New Smyrna Beach. Did you know that Jesus was crucified, dead, and buried, and He is alive, and He sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and He's going to come back? So we believe that. Amen. Now let's go and tell the others. That's a resurrection story, is it not? I think sometimes we have to do that. I think sometimes we do have to say the story over and over and over and over again. We have to say those words over and over and over and over again until we get them, until they're planted on our hearts, until we are encouraged enough and comfortable enough saying that to where we can go out the doors and share those with the others and tell them over and over and over and over and over again. But I know if I were to do that, the attendance would slowly start to dwindle and people would say, you know, you're preaching the same sermon every Sunday, Pastor. We need to get on to some more stuff. Doesn't the Bible have 66 books in it? But I think everything we do as Christians should be laid on that very foundation, should be laid on the very foundation of that which we believe, the reason that we celebrate Easter, the reason that we have worship on Sunday, and the reason that we go out and we tell the others, is that core belief. And let me say it again, Jesus Christ was born, He lived, He died, He rose again from the dead, He's in heaven with God the Father Almighty, and He is coming back again, and you can believe that. Let me say it again. Jesus Christ came to us. He was born amongst us. He lived amongst us. He died for you. He rose again from the dead for you. He's in heaven with God the Father Almighty for you. And He is coming back again for you. I believe that. Amen. We should be saying that every Sunday until we get so good at it that we can go out the door and say it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, so that they will come in here and hear that message as well. Because I don't, Sunday after Easter, looking at the passages, sometimes we do have to hear the story over and over and over again until it becomes part of who we are and it inspires us to go out into the world and share that good news with everybody. So let me say it again. Jesus Christ was born amongst us. He lived amongst us. He died for you. He rose again for you. And He is in heaven with God the Father Almighty. And yes, He prays for you. It's in the book. And He is coming back again for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us rise and sing our hymn number 305, Jesus Paid It All, and I believe that too.